This is Due by Friday, a weekly challenge podcast with Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. This week's challenge, do an NFC.
What's happening? What's happening right now? Can anybody hear me at all? Can anyone hear me? What is happening?
Oh, hey, Merlin. Sorry. They haven't put headphones on yet, so Alex and Dr. Don are just talking.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Is this producer Cameron?
Engineer Cameron. It's very different.
Alex sounds very animated. Is she okay?
Yeah. Came storming in, but seems fine.
Okay. Thanks, buddy.
No problem. Yeah, I'll let you know when they decide to put headphones on and acknowledge your presence.
Well, maybe you and me should just do our own show. We'll just split it off. Quinn loves it when she gets to make two different edits, so.
Merlin, man.
Ooh. Who was that? Was that Dr. Don?
No, that was me. That was me still.
Oh, Cameron, that was so tuneful. Oh, that was really lovely.
Thank you. Being tuneful is one of my only skills.
Cameron on the line. I'm in the middle of deep in and I'm but as Did they put their cans on, Cameron?
Yes, it did. Yeah, we were just having a little chat. But,
okay, I'll address Alex now. Thank you, Cameron. It was nice talking to you.
Yeah. Nice talking to you, Merlin.
Yep. Nice talking to you, buddy. Cameron on the line.
Oh, but big day for so many things.
What's happening?
Well, apparently Trump did a thing. Today, Cards Against Humanity announced that the first game cafe is coming to Chicago, and we're making it. It's called the Board Game Cafe. It will be a dining experience with board games that you can play.
You're a mood right now.
While you dine, and there will be an escape room in the basement produced by none other than the House Theater.
It's called a sex dungeon, Alex, isn't it?
No, I wish.
Let me show you my escape room.
Oh,
here.
Boy.
Let me show you the rope trick.
Oh, I'm so glad that I am not in charge.
You should get a clown. You should get a Gacy clown, and he could sit down there
clown.
And show the rope trick and read Bible verses to people. It'd be so cute.
That's a well. Actually, Gacy never killed anybody in his clown outfit.
Oh, sorry, but he
I know.
Didn't.
Thank
wait,
you.
Now is Gacy the one that did the rope game? Wasn't that him?
No.
Didn't he strangle people with some cord and a screwdriver while he read in the Bible?
Dr. Don, do you know?
That's classic clown behavior. Dr. Don, you know about clowns.
That would be no.
Serial killer
Sean
with rope
Wayne
and Bible.
C screwdriver.
I mean, if he hasn't come up yet on Mindhunter, then Bible John. Unidentified serial killer. Oh.
Hmm.
Oh, only three. Come on.
Oh, come on.
Get your game up. Jeez.
I will give that a thrill kill status, but I will not give that a serial status.
One thing
Read
that
a fucking
I...
book.
All right. Ugh. Dr. Don, do you watch Mindhunter?
I do not. We favor the British television in my house, and I've watched a lot of very creepy British crime shows.
Like what?
Well, we just...
Like with pregnant ladies and stuff?
Sorry?
Oh, so like the classic ones, like there's that one with Carey Mulligan. That's a really good one. You could watch the sad one with the doctor.
Yep.
That's a good one.
We just finished catching up with Silent Witness, which is up to series 22. Probably the most creepy one is one called Wire in the Blood.
I've heard about that.
Yeah, super, super graphic and super creepy. But all highly recommended.
Oh, I'm excited. I don't know about any of these. I just watch a doctor.
You should watch Broadchurch, Alex. It's very sad. And
oh, yes. I've been saving that.
It's got two doctors on it. It's got two doctors.
I mean, they're kind of in everything. I'm shocked that none of them made their way to Downton Abbey. I still can't believe it. It's like they found, other than Maggie Smith, they found the other 10 actors in Britain. It was very exciting. I wonder where Max is.
My Bluetooth. I'm sorry. I don't want to make this some personal news, as we say on Twitter. My Bluetooth keyboard is not working, so I may have to use my very loud, clacky keyboard.
The solar powered Bluetooth keyboard.
The solar powered Bluetooth keyboard is not letting me search for John Wayne Gacy. Maybe that's a mitzvah.
No.
I'm going. Oh, you guys ready? Let's bring the motherfucking rockets.
Oh man.
Oh, yeah. No, John Wayne Gacy gray on Bible screwdriver. Who was the clown killer, John Wayne Gacy? No screwdriver. I might be concatenating my killers.
No. He lured young children. Have I not told people?
It was the offer of work, wasn't it? Wasn't John Wayne Gacy the one where I need to help me out with my house?
Oh, hey, I got a paint job for you boys. Want to come in?
That's what they call a paint job.
Yep. Want some lemonade? Want some lemonade?
Paint.
I had a friend whose father met John Wayne Gacy and was painting his neighbor's house, and my friend's dad was offered a job by John Wayne Gacy and had to turn it down. So I'm glad he did, really? Because now I have a friend.
When he was a younger guy?
It was when he was 11, or I'm sorry, no, like 12 to 13, like it was two boys, so, but yeah, it was in the 60s, yay. Yep, no, he never killed anybody in a clown costume, he just killed the boys and buried them in the house, so.
Oh my God, it was sexually torturing to death some of the young men who worked for him. He lured them by promising them money or employment. One of his favorite routines was to persuade them. Oh, here it is. It's called the handcuff trick.
Oh, I mixed it. You're right.
Yep. In order to incapacitate them, he would then chloroform them and, they say sodomize. I don't think we say that anymore. This was followed by his quote-unquote rope trick, in which he would insert a rope around the victim's neck, insert a stick in the loop, and twist it slowly like a tourniquet until the victim strangled to death. Gacy liked to read passages from the Bible while doing this.
Oh, my gosh. I would like to put forth a public apology. I am so sorry. Here I am. I'm talking about what I think is my, suburban Chicago serial killer, and I'm just a fake serial killer girl. It's very disappointing.
So what do we say now if we don't say sodomize?
I don't know if that was a joke or not.
Honestly, I think that is a word that people used. First of all, sodomy laws, right? Do we want to talk about this?
No. I see what you're saying. Like, sodomy was seen as like the act of gay sex as a sin.
Sin. Okay.
At least in Georgia, if memory serves, the main sodomy laws that got enforced punitively were generally involved men and oral sex. We use sodomize to mean, I think, butt things, but I think it was mainly used as a heavily weighted. You know what we mean by this stuff. It meant gay stuff.
Yes.
Because Bible.
Mm-hmm. This is actually an interesting thing from one of my other shows that we talk about, is this is still on the books as a crime in some places because they have no other word for a man assaulting another man in the butt. Like, they just can't. They're like, oh, we can't use the R word.
You're talking about even consensual things. They don't have another word for it.
They just don't prosecute that. Like, they don't. Like, it's not. It is still illegal on the books, and then it's tacked on with criminal assaults. I think this is Georgia.
I think it's Georgia, too. It's those worst kinds of laws, and it's those things like what you could think of, like, in a classic example, Al Capone and tax evasion. But, like, there's also the ones where, like, I stopped this black guy in a car because he was speeding in this area. And, like, okay, well, I guess technically. But, you could come up with all these reasons why you think a stop was warranted, and then you kind of, donk that up into any kind of charge that you can get out of it. It's so gross. It's so gross. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't happen to white people so much.
Yeah.
So I hate to stop all this really good.
You're welcome, Dr. Don.
Talk, but and I hate to like break the illusion, but
Do you really hate it?
I do. Okay. I do. And Quinn can fix this, right? In post.
Of course.
She'll cut it off into a fourth or fifth episode at this point.
Can I find out what Wi-Fi I should be on and get a password?
I'm getting worse at spelling. I'm getting worse at typing on my phone, and my spelling is declining. And on top of it all, and no shade, no lemonade, but all of the pre-release versions of MV Ultra Beta shut off spell check every time you relaunch it.
Right? Oh,
and
come on,
Brett. Do you get that too?
Yeah. I thought it was just me.
Do you have it open right now?
Bum, bum, bum. I haven't been using it because of that.
I know. I went back. Yeah. But there's also like one of the classics in NV Alt that I really swear by is The text commands that everybody should learn, you know, about the command space.
Yes, I know all those, right?
So you know these commands, Alex? They're good commands.
Most of them, and that's why. Let's say when I do like Bear. I really like Bear. And it's the first time I've stopped using the...
You sound like Quentin Compton. I don't hate the South. I don't hate it.
It's very pretty. I like the theme. It's easy on the eyes. Yeah. Good God. That's not...
You're Casey listening them so hard right now.
Wait, why? Easy on the eyesing or trying to be like...
I love all of my Apple things except... For reasons 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 through 89.
I hate my new phone except for my camera.
You hate it, really?
Problematic. It's so.
Why?
It's just iOS 13 is so broken. The beta.
Oh my God, it's so fucking bad. The white text is back. The white text when you type is back.
Oh, well, I haven't seen.
Did you get the thing in the beta where when you type, like say in messages. The text in the field would turn white. You couldn't see it, but it was there. Did you get that?
Yes, but I have not come across that now. I'm on regular, 13.1.2 or whatever, not on the beta. But I'm almost going to
switch. I'm still getting the iPad bug where when I pick it up.
I know what you're talking about. Mm.
Do you get the splitty screeny?
Yep. Oh, God.
Why is that in the... This is a good one. This is one I like. So are you in a text area right now?
No. Let me get my... I have so many NFC tags, and I've got pills and my rings. Oh, Sag is here.
I have four that I have prepared here. Dr. Don, you're on a phone. You're not on a...
I got my password spelled correctly, so I'm on a real computer now.
I thought you had a PC for a second, and oh, boy.
try this one. Try put your cursor somewhere where text is, and then do Option... Shift left arrow several times.
No.
Late boys don't get to change the show. option shift. We'll talk about the cafe in a minute. Option shift left arrow. Welcome to our
special guest of the week.
Oh boy.
Dr. Don Schaffner at Bug Counter on Twitter.
Did that work
the
for you, Alex?
Leading, yes, good okay. Lord.
The cool? Nation's leading food safety focused microbiologist.
Mm-hmm. Is that your actual title?
Host.
Which? Sorry, I wasn't listening.
Oh, there's so much.
host of the Alex. Option I have shift, one on my laptop here. Left. I have one sticker that advertises a podcast. Which podcast left. Is that that's advertised on this sticker?
Okay. Food shift. Safety Talk. Yes.
That's right. It's Dr. Don, host of my favorite podcast, Food Safety Talk. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Don.
It's a pleasure to be here, Max.
Yes, Dr. Don, thank you for joining us, Dr. Don. Thank you.
Where can people find your work?
A lot of people
work?
Don't know. You can also do command arrow to go to the top of the buffer and command down arrow to go to the bottom of the buffer.
Dr. Don, where can people find your work?
Are people going to pay extra for what we're talking about or for what Merlin is talking
Absolutely.
About?
You know, I'm doing Absolutely. What I was told, which is introducing our guest at the top of the episode. But where can people find your work if they want to learn more, Dr. Don?
They could find Food Safety Talk at foodsafetytalk.com. They can find me on Twitter at Bug Counter. And if they want to see about the work that I do at Rutgers University, they can just Google Don Schaffner, Rutgers University, and it'll be right up there.
Oh, I did not know that part.
Quinn,
cool.
Edit that all in so it's the beginning of the show.
If you're at the beginning of a line and you hit shift down arrow, it's so handy because it selects the whole line.
I don't know which. Are we talking about the beta... And Vault right now? Or are we just talking?
No. I'm talking everywhere. Anywhere there's text
the
on
iPad.
A map.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I was back on my iPad.
Shift up arrow, shift down arrow. Hey, how's it going, Max? What's up, buddy? You sound like you got a lot going on right now. It's a big day. It's a big day.
Big week.
He's so busy, Merlin. He hasn't had time to have lunch. So
you guys, this is important though because Max has behind the scenes been doing an actual lot of real, not the quote unquote where I put my fingers in the air work. He's been doing actual real work for a long time to make something really nice. Max, what is it you made that's so nice?
Oh, thank you for that wonderful segue, Merlin. Mm-hmm. Cards Against Humanity is opening a board game cafe in Chicago. So that is a restaurant where people can. Come and play board games, and it's going to have really, really good-ass food. We are we're kind of taking a gamble. We're not going to give people the sort of normal slop that you get at these game cafes. And we have a really, really good culinary team, and they all come from fine dining, and we're going to do really cool global food from like Vietnam and Spain and Mexico, like you might find in markets and outdoor sort of gathering places all around the world. So like shared plates and great food. We're going to have a game library. We'll have
Do you do things a little bit different there?
Yeah, we do things a little bit differently. Yeah. And let's see what else. We'll have a game library. We'll have teachers who will teach you how to play a game. And we will have two escape rooms run by our friends at the House Theater of Chicago. And I've done many, many escape rooms all over the world. I've done probably almost on the order of 100 escape rooms. And the room that the House did in 2016 called The Last Offender is the best escape room I've ever done. And I'm so, so, so happy to bring it back. And they're doing a new one. This has been – it's been a lot of work. We've been working on this for 3 years every single day, just trying to get this thing built. And tickets are available at chicagogamecafe.com. And come and have dinner and check it out.
I would say your pitch was maybe 40% better than mine. I got most of it right. Yeah. Quinn, edit that.
Yeah, actually, send this edit to Gray, and then he'll send it to Mike, and then they'll send it back mm-hmm. to me.
Yep.
And I'll do a pass on it as well. And also break off the podcast in the second podcast from earlier when I talked to Cameron and you guys couldn't hear me.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be a bonus episode that'll be up for everybody.
Merlin, I have not looked at the news today.
Oh,
so I saw one sort of picture of it was one of these flabby sort of dough-like Republicans standing at a podium, and he looked pretty mad.
Oh, yeah.
And then he was surrounded by sort of a throng of identical sort of
men
white-haired, just upsetting, grimace. They all look like – to me, they all look like – once I saw it, I can't unsee it, but they all look like those kickboxing dummies. You know, they have this grimace on their face.
The technical term is called a tie rack of white men.
Just very upsetting, just really upsetting men. And all the photos I saw was they were in some sort of atrium with a staircase going around it. And all the journalists, I guess, were standing on the staircase and shooting down at these upsetting men. And so it's just there. All you're seeing is their hairlines, which let's just say is not their best feature.
No.
What was that? And they were like, we're going to storm the skiff.
So friend of the show, Matt Gaetz, not Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz, the super interesting Florida congressman, decided to do a Jon Snow unsheathing his sword style Area 51, bring the motherfucking ruckets. Mm-hmm. He and his buddies, they're going to go in and they're going to do a full frontal assault on the skiff.
They're going to Naruto run into the skiff.
they can't shoot you if you're Naruto running. So the idea was like, so according to what I've read, Matt Gaetz has now been thrown out of the skiff twice for not being on a committee and not being eligible to go into the secret depositions that are being held.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's trying to make this into some kind of Star Chamber thing.
No girls in the treehouse.
No
dogs allowed. So anyway, that's the idea. And so he and then
he's like a droid trying to go into the Mos Eisley cantina. They don't serve his kind there.
I'm not gonna say anything. I got chided for 25 minutes last night for reposting an animated GIF of a Star War.
Oh my God, Merlin, I wasn't gonna say anything, but seriously, fuck you. Oh my God.
I don't care.
I need
more of this in my life. So anyway, Matt Gaetz is everybody's really boy, it's, you know what? It's time for us to use this phrase. Everybody all the president's men are heavily virtue signaling their support right now, mostly. I mean, especially the dingling Congress people. In the very Trumpy districts are very heavily trying to signal their support to dear leader for how terrible boo this whole impeachment thing is. So yeah, that's what's happening there. And so apparently and I haven't followed this closely because I was watching Trump be so fucking gacked out on Adderall this morning. Holy shit! So I was following that.
And he did a talk.
Oh, he did. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh.
What was it? What was the? Give me the
tremendous win. tremendous wins. Tremendous wins in the Mideast right now, removing all the sanctions from Turkey, and some of the deepest nasal draws that we have heard.
Oh, you're saying he's fully decongested.
Oh, ooh. He's breathing so clearly this morning, and he's got that, you know, you can really tell when he gets his dumb guy confidence on. Mm-hmm. You usually only really see it at the rallies. Mm-hmm. He was expressing huge silverback dumb guy confidence this morning about how cool he sounded, and mm-hmm. it was super fucking bad. So they go into the skiff, supposedly. Gates and his peeps, they storm the Bastille, and they get into the skiff, and they're like live tweeting and like streaming from inside the skiff. Max, I know our listeners may not know this. We tell people what a skiff is and what it is for.
I don't actually was going to ask you that. It's a secure something.
I thought it was a boat. I'm really sorry.
It's
a bunch of doughy Republicans on one of those catamarans
that's
just slowly tilting on its side and sinking into the ocean.
Oh, God. Yeah.
SCIF, and these exist in lots of different places. But basically, it's a secure, heavily monitored facility for sharing extremely sensitive information with people in the various branches.
Now, can I just – Dr. Don, you seem like the kind of guy who might – maybe you've been in a skiff.
Have you been in a skiff?
I mean, in as much as you can say, have you ever been in a secure location?
I have not, but I know people who have. So I know some people at FDA.
Oh, shit. Max couldn't say. He couldn't say if he had. He couldn't say if he had.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I couldn't, right.
He can't confirm or deny.
He returns it all.
But no, seriously. So some friends of mine at FDA, when they were working on all of this counterterrorism stuff, they had to go into a skiff room. They had to leave all their stuff outside and then go in, and they could look at stuff, and I guess they could maybe write some stuff, and then they had to leave it all and leave. Yeah,
I think if it's done correctly. So there's a couple things. Skiffs have been in the news in the last year, and I'm almost done. It's been in the news a lot lately for a variety of reasons. We heard at one point. Jared Kushner spends a lot of his time in skiffs. Like, he's decided that that's going to be like his EPA phone booth where he can go and have privacy times. And so where he can do his back channeling, if you know what I mean. And so there's that.
Is that what they call
it?
He's
a skiff. The other kind of skiff that we'll hear about a lot is, for example, I want to say with the unredacted Mueller report, where they would bring in like five congresspeople at a time to come in and look at a physical copy of the thing. Absolutely. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Two things. The first rule of Skiff Club. Title. The first rule of Skiff Club is like what happens in Skiff stays in Skiff. Like it is considered like it's, I think it's top secret and higher level stuff usually. Sensitive compartmented information. But you know, to that end, yeah, you don't talk about what happened in Skiff Club, but also you cannot bring your fucking phone in. It's like it is like bringing a droid in. Like you're really super not supposed to do that. And yeah. As the president says, we'll see what happens.
It is. It's on the one hand, it's very funny that all these like just sort of flabby, upsetting dullards are like storming into the congressional skiff.
Yeah.
I think the whole. I would actually go so far as to say the entire tableau is very funny because you have a sort of phony faux outrage impeachment that's a non-starter that's not going to go anywhere or change anything. Ooh. Being taken way too seriously by the Democrats. And they're like, we have our documents in the secure location to proceed with the crimes and misdemeanors of Mr. Trump. And then you have the Republicans storming in with their phones going, we're going to infiltrate the skiff. The whole thing is very funny
to me. High school
play.
Yeah.
But no joke, it is some fascist shit, them like running into the thing in Congress. You know, that doesn't that give you a vibe of like, it's some real fascist shit. Like they're like, we're going to storm into this location and we're going to do it so brazenly that it seems like it's not even wrong what we're doing.
I never thought that the running was part of the not literal running, but like, oh, yeah, we're doing this. We're doing it was. So you think it's an attempt for them to make it seem normal.
Well, that is, in fact, Trump's whole strategy right now, his whole legal defense strategy, is he's just coming out and saying, yeah, I extorted Ukraine to get the info on Biden. Mm-hmm. And he's like, if I say it confidently enough, people will go, no, it can't be that bad. I'm saying it confidently.
Everybody does.
Yeah. Right. So somebody reposted the great bit yesterday. Somebody said, many people are asking questions about my no quid pro quo T-shirt that are clearly answered by my no quid pro quo T-shirt. and that's the thing. They're going to try and they do not have much of a basis in anything right now. And so they are going to try and make this about what they consider a corrupt process, and it's not going great.
I would say my read on it is that we're, as this progresses, we're kind of peeling the layers of the onion here, right? Because what it comes down to me, what it comes down to, like materially, is Trump broke the law. Obviously, he broke the law in this instance and a million times before. Mm-hmm. He's done impeachable offenses over and over and over. Like this whole thing where he was going to have the G7 at his golf course, like we just rode right by that. But that's an impeachable offense right there, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's like he does them all the time. But what the material reality is, it doesn't matter if he breaks the law because he has the right political power in the right places so that there's never any consequences for it, right?
I half agree with you. I do agree that they're peeling away the onion, but I also think given how silly the Democrats can mm-hmm. be, they're smart to mostly focus on one onion. And I think that approach is pretty smart.
I don't necessarily know that I have like a prescriptive, like this is the thing, what the Democrats should be doing. I just...
Yeah. No, I feel you. Yeah, we talked about this. You don't want to be optimistic, but...
Yeah, I just don't think that... all that aside, like it is interesting that the Trump administration has like tried all their normal tactics of sort of like kicking dust up into the air and clouding the issue and making it confusing. And now they've gone straight to the part where... I don't think that they're sort of outright admitting illegality, but they're like, well, it doesn't matter if it's illegal or not because he's not going to be impeached. Like, they're like, let's just lay our cards on the table.
Well, to that point, Max, I'm really glad you brought that up, Max, because I'm going to do a thing that I don't ordinarily do, which is, and I'll give you a second here, too, if you can play some audio. So this morning before I came into the office, and, you know, I follow this stuff too closely, shame on me, tuned into C-SPAN for the appeals court hearing on basically some of the folks trying to get his taxes and the DOJ lawyer responding. And I heard something on C-SPAN that I found very difficult to believe. I was pretty sure I hadn't heard it correctly. But I think I heard it correctly. So what you're about to hear is a question, something that kept coming up is what they call, I think, the Fifth Avenue issue, which is basically saying, oh, so Donald Trump one time said that he could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and he'd get away with it. And now that has become, in the court case, something that they're talking about as an extreme example of like, oh, can't we at least all agree that if you shot somebody, you could arrest and prosecute him, right?
And what's your view on the Fifth Avenue example? Local authorities couldn't investigate. They couldn't do anything about it.
I think once a president is removed from office, any local authority. This is not a permanent immunity.
Well, I'm talking about while in office.
No,
that's the hypo. Nothing could be done. That's your position.
That is correct.
So that's a nice way to start the day.
Yep.
Oh boy!
Thanks, Rob.
So basically, they wouldn't be allowed. Here's the thing: they wouldn't be allowed to stop him if he did. If he finally said, "Okay, that's it, out of beer, out of here, new dealer. I'm gonna just go get an AR something something." They wouldn't be allowed to stop him.
You know, I have always felt that just by some sort of like Chekhov's gun type logic, that this thing is gonna end with him shooting someone on Fifth Avenue, right?
100% will end with this. Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, that is kind of seen enough prestige TV to kind of know. It's not going to be the last episode in the season. It'll be the second to last episode in the season.
Yeah, and it'll be a disappointing, like, what happens after? Who we let be the king? Is it the kid in the wheelchair? Yeah, it's going to suck. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Would that be, who would that be? That would, I guess, be Biden?
I didn't know they had parades for guys like you anymore.
Who's the kid in the wheelchair, and who's the Bran Stark in this race?
Oh, that's such a good question.
I mean, I think it's probably Marianne Williamson.
Ivanka?
Oh, God.
Oh, Marianne Williamson. Okay.
Right?
It's got to be family, right? Doesn't have to be.
She's got the. She can talk right. to. She can commune with. She sees the three-eyed raven.
Mm-hmm. Oh God.
Right? She can warg.
Yeah.
99% sure that she can warg.
Oh, okay. So she could warg in. She could warg into Ivanka if needed. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like it has to be family. I feel like, I mean, obviously, I think Eric would be a great candidate, you know?
I met Marianne Williamson. She came to the office, mm-hmm. and she did an interview on a radio show in the Cards Theater, and I saw her speak, and...
she did some DMing?
I heard you did a magic trick for her, and she was very impressed.
I did. So I was doing, like, card tricks for her while she was doing her event. Her staff was sort of milling about, and I did some card tricks for them out in the hallway. And then afterwards, when they were like cleaning up, they had me do. They were like, "You have to do a magic trick for Marianne." And I did a magic trick for her, and she liked it. And then she told me that she's one time at Deepak Chopra's house, she saw a real mind reader,
an actual reader of minds,
a real mind reader. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's tremendous.
And but I liked she. I did you see her talk? Yeah, you were here. Oh, you were running the feed. What did you think? What were your thoughts?
No comment.
Nope.
I liked.
I know how you feel about her DM.
I liked her. Oh right, I did. She did a photo op with Dungeons Dice and everything.
She,
nice.
She topped a campaign. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She said one of her great quotes was, "As a politician, I roll the dice every day."
Yep, yep. She says she faces dragons all the time in Washington.
Thanks, I hate it.
I liked her positions on. I liked her position on reparations. I think she actually probably has the most progressive and best policy on reparations of any Democratic candidate in the field. And I actually. I am interested in her idea to create a Department of Peace. I think that's probably a good idea.
What about, are there any Second Amendment issues around familiars, whether that's a cat or an owl or a rat? is there anything we need to be talking about in terms of munitions? And really, if you're going to get a Crookshanks or you want to talk about it and have a conversation, debate me, right? Debate me, change my mind, and you know what? Know the terminology. You know, if it's not a Persian, don't call it a Persian. Call a cat a rat and a rat a cat. No, sorry. You're out of the discourse. Debate me.
How am I going to feed my 30 to 50 feral hogs without my plastic water bottles because she did not like that I put those out for her?
What is this egg that you're fondling?
This is my...
Oh, dear. You guys need me for this?
I don't think you're supposed to ask about my eggs. No, no, no.
Alex is like flipping.
This is my new Dr. Don, help
me. Back me up here. Alex is, she's sort of gingerly rolling this black egg in between her fingers.
This is my new special physical therapy egg I got this morning. Mm-hmm. And it's stage 3. Of a series of eggs that I've been using to build up my hand strength.
Okay.
So that is the answer. What egg I'm fondling. It's a squishy. It's
finish
squishy
me over.
Too.
Are you going to walk into a fire with that thing and hatch a physical therapy dragon out of it?
I fight dragons every day, Matt. Anyway, sorry. That was a critical miss.
The fuck we're talking about? The skiff, the Republicans, the impeachment. I don't know.
What else we got?
I have a question.
45 minutes in. Oh,
yeah, goddamn. How hanging in there, Dr. Don?
Yeah. I'm good.
Dr. Don, I have a question for you. I don't know if maybe – I don't actually don't know if you if you know the answer to this, but are there have the Democratic field said anything about your like public health areas? Is there like policy differences?
Oh, yeah. Do you have – is there a plank in the platform for food safety?
Well, so actually, this is a nice segue to why I'm here in Chicago this week. So I'm here for the Food Safety Preventive Controls Alliance, which is helping the food industry implement part of the Food Safety Modernization Act, which was an act signed by the last good president.
Jimmy Carter.
They made him put his farm in a truck.
He had to sell his peanut farm, Max. He had to sell his peanut farm. I'm so angry about that. What a good guy. So Obama signed the Food Safety Modernization Act, and that actually transformed the FDA side of the food industry. So, but as far as I know, none of the candidates are really talking about food safety. But we got all we can handle with dealing with the Food Safety Modernization Act.
Isn't there something where the candidates, because they're all in Iowa and New Hampshire, and they start pandering to farmers and they start offering them, oh, we'll change these rules and those rules. But that hasn't really – you haven't heard anything?
I haven't heard anything about that, no.
Okay. This is incredibly stressful. Dr. Don, can I pivot to – let's circle back to this later.
No, I do have questions. I have questions for Dr. Don.
So many questions.
Should we just start peppering Dr. Don with our safety questions?
One general overall question. In hospitals, when they remind doctors to wash their hands, is that for us as patients to see? Or do doctors and nurses need reminding like food worker? I don't think food workers actually need to be reminded. That's just required by law, right?
Yeah, it's required. Yes, it's required by whatever your state and local food code is.
Got it.
We can talk about whether the requirements are really legitimate or not. So the problem is not to, you know, to creep you guys out, but if people wash their hands as much as the food code says that they should wash their hands, they would probably spend 20 minutes out of every hour washing their hands.
I'm okay with that.
Right?
I'm really
and so,
okay with that.
You're saying this like it's a bad thing.
Yeah. I'm not a small business owner, but I would love a clean hand in my food.
Well, yes, but people can wear gloves. They can use utensils.
Max, do you feel it coming? Do you feel it coming? Here it comes. Okay, I can already feel it coming. Well, it depends. Here it comes. Go ahead, Don. Oh, please, by all means, dissemble, dither, and equivocate here on our program.
Well,
welcome.
So, hi, Merlin.
Hey, buddy.
So,
oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Turns out too much hand washing is even worse.
Well, no, so if you wash your hands too much, you could get dermatitis. But I would rather.
Oh, my God.
Here's the thing. If you have a whole lot.
It turns out changing gloves a lot makes upsetting noises.
It turns out if you change your rubber gloves too many times a day, it increases the odds that one of the gloves will become too tense and it will snap your penis and render you infertile.
You know, the thing is, this is something we've been looking at in my lab, and it turns out there's no way you can shit too much in a kitchen. Because you could get dermatitis.
Oh, God. Now, I have a study here paid for by the Purell Corporation.
Yeah.
My God.
Listen. It's believed that really every veteran chef has come into the soup on at least a biannual basis. And then if they don't, they won't be able to finish when they're at home.
It's what we call the mother sauce.
Hi, I'm Robert Bechamel.
Now, what you're looking at here is the SCOBY.
You do not want to break my sauce, buddy. You do not want to see what happens when that goes down. Anyway, try the chowder.
Rejoice. It's a living beverage.
So, Don, what were you going to say?
Can we talk about Alex's mask?
I was just going to ask you about this, Dr. Don. Yes. I saw. Oh, Merlin sent it. I was just going to ask you about this this article.
Oh.
Okay. Well, all right. On a quick follow up on the hospital thing. So, I have a friend who works at a company where one of the things they're trying to do is create a piece of technology that doctors can wear where they can scan it to log how many times and when and where they're washing their hands. Mm. And they're trying to sort of monitor hand washing and stuff in hospitals. And I think from what their studies and case studies are that there is insufficient hand washing happening in hospitals, and that you could do things like prevent MRSA from spreading and things if everyone followed the guidelines of washing hands in hospitals.
Well, yeah, it's hand washing. I think sanitizers have a role to play. I'm required by the Purell Corporation to say that every time I talk about hand washing. And actually, you know, and
you just got PayPal $60.
Spreading.
Dr. Don, you want to tell us about something you like?
This episode of Dubai Friday is brought to you by Purell. Keep wheezing that juice.
Oh, God.
So, I mean, infection control in hospitals is important business. I was just handling a manuscript for a journal where I'm an editor, where they're looking at contact surfaces.
Were you wearing gloves?
I was typing very carefully on my keyboard.
It's okay if you finish on it. Turns out that's healthy.
Sorry, go.
And infection. And so,
in the worst.
Oh. Why does anyone with dignity come on this show?
I'm so sorry.
I'm going to mute now.
Merlin is acting out, and I'm encouraging him by laughing. But I'm actually so interested in what you have to say.
No,
Merlin,
I'm
being so
here.
Rude.
So I'm muting. I'm going to mute for 3 minutes. I'm muting for 3 minutes. I'm so sorry.
It's good.
Where's Quinn? We need some infractions.
I'm just here. I'm being good. Quinn, notice I'm being very big.
I love you guys so much. This is so much
so
fun
sorry.
To do. It's okay.
So
it's fine. So infection control in hospitals is an important issue, and we need multifaceted approach, right? It's hand washing. It's using sanitizers. It's figuring out surfaces that actually cause bacteria to die, so you can put use certain metal ions that are toxic to the bacteria that will you know help with the cleaning process.
Is this
it's regular
like copper,
cleaning.
Copper surfaces?
Yeah, copper,
and, like that?
And there's some other chemicals as
is
well.
Is that real?
Yeah, for sure it's real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
interesting.
For sure.
So I've heard like copper handrails, yep. Copper. Okay, interesting.
But the problem is that copper is very expensive, right? So you've got to figure out, well, we're not going to make the whole handrail out of copper. We're just going to figure out where the touch points are. And so, yeah, and there's a lot of cool, good science coming out around this, including the article that Merlin sent, which says that doctors should not wear neckties.
This one blew me, that one blew me away. It's from a few years ago, but it's I'm really interested in any of the things. I mean, you know, I like turns out stuff. I think it's interesting when you get one of those, the call is coming from inside the house type things where you're like, oh, I'm the dick here. And so maybe you could address this. Is this true in your experience? This is an article. So I remember hearing about this on, I want to say NPR, where they'd been looking at ways to reduce all kinds of problems in hospitals, and they'd done all the stuff with hand washing, and we've done seminars, and we put all the things everywhere. And maybe you could tell us about this, but I think what it came down to was they eventually said that doctors' neckties in hospitals are one of the most disgusting things you can have. People are coughing on it. They're touching it. Like, what is? Tell us what you know about this.
Yeah, so this is a 2006 article, which looks like it's just like a policy statement. It's not an actual peer-reviewed research article, but you know it makes perfect sense, right? In retrospect, of course, the neckties just hanging there. It's touching everything. It's not getting maybe. You know, I don't know how often you wash your neckties, but maybe once a year they might get dry cleaned.
What?
So.
Wait, aren't you supposed to do it every single I don't wear ties often, but every single time I get them dry cleaned. Is that like? What?
I have to say,
if you're a medical
I
doctor,
own,
that's a really good idea.
I don't know that I've ever dry cleaned a tie.
I've cleaned a tie. I could definitely count it on one hand. I'm not a big tie
God.
Man, but
maybe if I got some like a chowder on it, I would dry clean it. But I don't do that.
Turns out it's better
oh
to keep it there.
Oh my God! Yeah. Oh, okay, I'm sorry, Dr. Don. Please continue.
Alex, that would be like saying that you like launder your belt. Like it's just like I don't know. You
no,
put
it's
it on
a
every
leather.
Day.
No. Ooh. It is fabric.
You could get a copper belt.
And yes, I have had fabric belts in the past laundry washer safe.
Alex, when you brought this topic up, you were waving around two bottles of pills.
Oh, I was just reading them and wondering if – Dr. Don, I don't think you can comment on them because caffeine and L-theanine, a friend of the show, Matt Enlow, gave me this cocktail. I don't think you can have any – comment on them officially because it's not
he's not that
FDA.
Kind of doctor.
Not an FDA.
Exactly. No, or well, there's no like food.
Dr. Don, would you take a look at this rash?
No.
Yeah.
No. Like, I will look at Alex's pills, please, Max. I will not look at your
pills.
Rash.
Oh,
get
I've got
the sun theanine. It's the baller shit.
No. You need to take it with caffeine. So it is a 2-to-1 ratio.
Why don't you guys just skip the middleman and take the UK Sudafed?
I got new drugs.
Don't worry. I'm there. Thanks, Adina. I'm working on it. I'm working so close.
I just thought this was interesting because I don't remember if this was included in the reporting that I heard, but it's very interesting because, well, you know, let's just pivot a little bit to culture here, which is that there's a lot of shit that doctors do that is about expressing status and power in what they do. You think about those fucking lab coats. You think about every time you see an ad on MSNBC about like this drug that makes you want to commit suicide, there's always some doctor how can you tell? Well, they have a lab coat and a stethoscope, right? And the necktie is part of that. And I bet there was huge pushback to this because it's going to make you not have the same authority. You know what I mean?
Well, and the one that gets me is when I see people wearing scrubs like out in the community around the hospital. It's like, no, those are for in the hospital and then regular clothes for outside the hospital.
Oh, I never thought of that. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. But,
oh, my God.
So,
oh, my God.
Yeah. I do want to talk about Alex's drugs here. So L-theanine, which apparently, quote, promotes relaxation and restores a sense of calm. And it's a dietary supplement. And this is, again, a bit outside my area of expertise, but dietary supplements are regulated essentially as food. But again, this is back to politics. A lot of the dietary supplement industry is based in Utah, and the senators from Utah wanted to kind of make it easy for that industry to succeed. So the rules are pretty loosey-goosey.
Whoa, wasn't that also where Herbalife was based?
Oh, it might have been.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Where they were doing like a pyramid scheme ephedrine, basically? I'm pretty sure. I mean, that because I know I don't want to cast an aspersion, but I think there's a lot of interest in network marketing opportunities inside of certain religions. Have you heard this?
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Heard this. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to ask my sister-in-law about this because she is actually a biochemist or is getting her PhD in biochemistry. I don't know. I think it is what Dr. Veronica does, kind of. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But like, I think about what's it called? Melatonin. Like Merlin, both of us have tried this, right? And it like
I take all of this stuff every day. Yeah,
fucks
I take it all.
It fucks me up. This is
what's well, a hormone. You're not supposed to take it too much, like I do. It's a hormone.
Yeah,
and it's not good for you.
I hate it. It gives me like genuine terrible nightmares.
One problem with melatonin. I'm not a doctor, but I am a real worm. The problem with melatonin is that a lot of people are taking way more than they need. I think the effective dose, if you believe in melatonin, like I believe, you don't need as much as in a lot of stuff. And maybe Dr. Don knows about that, the hormone part of it. Like you don't want too much of that getting jacked into your matrix every day.
So I guess so. Sort of the top line summary is, you know, be careful with dietary supplements, right? Because they're regulated, but they're not heavily regulated. I mean, and I would absolutely echo Alex's comment about melatonin. Actually, I take it sometimes when I'm traveling to help me sleep, and I think I took some last night before I went to bed. And yeah, it just gives me weird dreams. But the other thing too, and you guys have talked about this before on the show. What's the one that you were taking, Alex? Kratom.
Oh yeah.
And there were salmonella recalls for some Kratom,
there,
right? And if you think about it, it's an
makes
herb.
Sense.
Yeah, it's an herb.
Totally
it comes from
makes sense.
From the natural mm-hmm. environment. It can get contaminated, just like spices. And spices are among the most contaminated of things in our food supply. So yeah, so just, you know, be just be careful.
It's yeah, and it's regulated in Illinois and not. Also, I realize this thing is super illegal in other places. Mm-hmm. It's very strange. Like areas that
Dr.
have.
Dr. Dunn, what about crocodile? Because that's what I'm into.
Wait, what now? Hold on.
Look it up. Okay, I have a new topic.
Oh,
can I give Dr. Dunn a new topic?
All right, Max is bored. Let's move on.
We're not done with science questions though, right?
No. Okay. I have a new science question. Okay. So do you guys know or use, I believe we must have talked about this on Dubai Friday before, but the sinus blaster?
Yep.
You use it, Alex?
I have in the past, and then I stopped because people
You mean
died?
The amoeba introducer?
The amoeba, yeah. The amoeba injector. The amoeba injector 9000. now, okay, so Dr. Dunn, what this is it was recommended by an actual medical doctor for me to help me with my chronic sinus problems.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the idea of a neti pot where you're like running water through your sinuses, but it's a different design. It's like a newer thing than a neti pot. So it has a plastic bulb on the top that you fill with like, you know, a Diet Coke can worth of saline water. So you do like a salt pouch and then a water. And then you put pressure on it. So you're like irrigating. You're like blasting out your sinuses. And you do one nostril and the other. And you're like feels like you're waterboarding yourself. It's very exciting. And it does have the one that I purchased from CVS has a micron filter. So that it advertises that it's safe to use tap water with it. So I have two big topics for you. Is it safe to use? You know about so some people have said that if you use like a neti pot with tap water in some parts of the country, you can get amoebas that will kill you in your brain. Is it with the filter in there? Is it safe to use the tap water?
Well, so. For sure, people do get amoeba infections, right? Generally, they get it from swimming in water where the amoeba is, like you know, stagnant water or things like that.
So like hotel swimming pools.
Well, I think more natural environments because hotel swimming pools should
okay.
be chlorinated.
Great.
So natural unchlorinated water supplies, right? Or you know, like ponds and creeks and things like that. For sure, you know, I think it's probably theoretically possible that you could get an amoeba from tap water. I think that generally speaking, our tap water is relatively amoeba-free. If there was a filter and the filter was working and it was a 0.2 micron filter, then that would definitely keep amoeba out because they're bigger than 0.2 microns. What they wouldn't do... I don't want to stop you from using this, Max, but I have to fully disclose as a scientist, I'm prohibited from you know lying about things. it would not filter out viruses.
Ooh.
So if there were viruses in the water, they would go through.
Virus
obviously,
water.
If, Yeah.
Now what if I've also heard it recommended. So I've definitely heard it recommended for an unfiltered product like a neti pot that you purchase one of those gallons of distilled water. And then you mix that with your saline and then you blast that. Yeah. Is that safe to blast?
That's what I do.
That distilled water should be safer than tap water. Or you could just take tap water and boil it, right? And then if you boil it, it's, you know, well, obviously don't put it in your nose when it's still boiling. Oh, yeah, you're a busy guy. I understand. Yeah. Stores to open and things to do. Yeah.
Okay, so here's my – so that's question number one. Question number two, which I'm very interested in, is I have heard some back and forth on the internet. You know, I Google everything until I work myself into paralysis about being able to do anything. But I've heard that basically – and this actually makes perfect sense to me. Like, let's say you're sick and you have some sort of infection or virus or whatever, and you blast your sinuses, right? And then a couple weeks later, I use the thing again. It does kind of have a certain logic that this thing could be contaminated and you could be reintroducing the original thing that made you sick. Or obviously, I mean, I'm not sharing with another person, but it's like the same idea of like, you know. So the question I have is, how should I be sanitizing this thing? Because it should be – somehow you should be doing it, right?
Yeah, like I know – so my wife uses a neti pot. Seems like kind of a gross idea, so I don't – I just rather have a stuffy nose. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever tried being waterboarded?
I have not tried being waterboarded.
I'll tell you, like, there's this real feeling of when your sinuses just fill with water, it's a real feeling of panic that sets in. And then when that goes away, it feels pretty good.
So you're topping yourself.
Yep. I have a video of myself doing this. I'll put that in the show notes. Yeah, it's great. It's great.
Do you ever start, you do like a sputtering cough?
Oh.
And salt water flies into your throat?
Mm. Oh, yeah. And then you spit out the salt water, and I'm like, oh, that's right. It's all connected.
It's pretty cool. Did your doctor tell you to do this?
The blasty one.
The blaster.
He told me to – so I think we have the same one that's like at Walgreens.
It's like blue.
Yeah. And it looks like an enema type thing.
Have you tried the Arm & Hammer one?
I don't know what – no.
This is recommended to me by a celebrity friend who swears by it, and – Arm & Hammer makes
Hold on now.
Arm & Hammer makes a blaster that you can get at a drugstore, and it just shoots saline in. It's not hot like you get with like one of your pots, but you can just keep it in the shower and shoot snot rockets.
See, this scares... So is this a little bit like Flonase?
Well, let me ask...
No, not at all.
Oh, it's a sprayer?
Yeah, Arm & Hammer is simply saline.
I see. Okay.
Sprayer.
Splatter.
Simply saline nasal mist, instant relief for everyday congestion. Mm-hmm. 4.5 ounces.
You can also get one with Elmo on it.
Merlin, can I ask you a question about? I've always wondered, how do you use this? Do you put it in your nostril and you hold it down until it comes out the other nostril, or are you just like spritzing like?
I mean, the way I use it is very simple. Alex and I swear by the turns out nostril technique for clearing.
Oh, yeah.
Because the turns out technique is, it seems like you should try and blow out the side. Well, you know, we're not even getting into the thing about how your sinuses change side every 90 minutes, which was a news to me. But there will be one side that's always more congested than the other. This is really gross, and I apologize. And so if you're trying to clear a side, the ironic part is, the turns out part is, you should start with the side that is less congested. So if you're blowing your nose, into an according to Hoyle tissue, start with the side that's clearer, and it actually weirdly clears out the other side.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, have you never
so,
done this?
So, but can I get good. An answer to my
oh,
question?
Oh, sorry, I didn't answer your question. So, I keep
but
it
what does it do? What does it do?
So, there's three cameras on the back. You put it in the gimbal, put the lime in the coconut, and then I keep it in the shower right next to my Neutrogena. And I'll give it a blast right into there, and then I go.
So now, are you blasting enough liquid that it's coming out the other nostril?
I feel like, I mean, it's not going doing a full wraparound neti style, but it's definitely getting in there. Faux shizzle. Yeah.
Okay.
So what are you doing? You're doing like a three Mississippi?
No.
Less?
Well, I'll do it until I really feel it. Like, until I have regrets about my life. And that's usually enough. And then I just work the hot water.
I don't need a spray for this.
I'm willing to cock and just shoot it out, you know?
I'm willing to try this.
Cock. That's the sound of me shooting a farmer's hanky in the shower.
Okay, so can we return? Should I purchase an autoclave?
Oh, I want an autoclave. I want an autoclave so much.
This sounds like a great challenge.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about it. We've talked about it for sure.
How should I be sanitizing this thing?
All right. So let's close the loop on this. So
poor man.
With my wife's neti pot, it goes in the automatic dishwasher, right? And we can run out on a sanitizer cycle. Now I don't know what the device is that you're
using.
Can
I describe it?
So yeah, sure.
Okay, so it has like three components, okay? I'm gonna pull up a picture of it. So it has a big plastic clear plastic bulb that's kind of that soft plastic that you can squeeze. Computer is fully frozen. Has anyone noticed that the new Mac OS is a little?
Did you install? Oh my
it's a little,
god!
It's a little buggy.
It's a little bit bulbous.
Yeah. I haven't.
I'm probably the
yet.
First to observe that.
A little bit pear shaped. Yeah.
Okay, so Dr. Don, we'll put the link to this product in the show notes so people can see, but. So yeah, this is it. Okay, so it's got kind of a plastic bulb where the liquid goes, where you squeeze it, and then that's threaded and it unscrews, and then it has this two-part rigid cap, and so the white part has an interior structure with a HEPA filter in it, and then there's the blue thing, which is just sort of a protective shell. So the water is squeezed through the HEPA filter into the blue part, and then it comes out here. Now, I think if I put this into the dishwasher, this part would all get... I mean, obviously, I'm not going to dish... Let me stipulate. I'm not dishwashing the HEPA filter.
Right.
That stays out. But I would dishwash the rigid blue part.
So what do the instructions say? Do they have cleaning directions?
I don't trust them.
Oh, well, but yeah, but that's where you start.
Well, that's in the pocket of a big manual.
I don't know why it's never occurred to me to read the instructions.
So, I mean, theoretically, if the chamber that has the liquid is contaminated, it's going through the HEPA filter, so it's being filtered out. But sometimes things are designed by people that don't understand sanitary design. So,
Dr. Don, I don't want to oversummarize your career in one sentence, but it strikes me that a lot of the wisdom you have to share comes down to a very interesting, surprising, turns out sort of thing, which is that things come in contact with other things. We often don't realize the things. No, I'm being dead honest. This comes back to the spinach. It comes back to all the things. But like, it seems to me that a lot of like what we don't realize as dorks, snorks, and consumers is how often a thing has touched another thing, and we didn't know that thing touched that thing. Whether that's a necktie or whether that's what your spinach water and your chicken water. I mean, isn't that kind of seems like something that's always top of mind for you is the like, it may not be obvious, but like that water touched, you become like an OCD person. I had a friend with OCD really bad in college who was like, if I touch the steering wheel and then that gets in my hand and then I touch my eye. And that's how I feel so much of the time with this. We're like, what if my chicken water gets in my neti pot?
Right. And well, here's the thing about bacteria, Merlin. They're small and you
little
can't
guys,
see them,
yeah.
Right? And so, yeah. So part of what I do as a microbiologist is just try to imagine like what they're doing, right? And how they would go from one place to another and when they would be able to grow or when they would die, right? Because that's just my career, as you so eloquently summarized.
Oh, did I make you mad?
Oh, not at all. Oh, no, you got it. You nailed it.
Well, I also want to talk about wiping my ass with this tool at some point. What did you have, Max?
With what?
Oh, you'll get to it. Don't worry about that. You're not getting out of that fucking room until we talk about this toilet aids tool, long reach comfort.
I had a philosophy professor who told me this. I think it sounds now to me like maybe it's almost like a Zizek thing, but he was like, I was in this store, or he may have been paraphrasing this, I don't remember, but the story was, so he was in a store and he saw a soccer ball being sold in like a sports store, and the soccer ball was wrapped in like a cellophane, like a wrapper, and then it was like packaged in like a clear clamshell in a cardboard box. And he was like, it's so weird because the intended purpose of this thing, like what you're going to do with it, is take it out of all that packaging and then put it in the dirt and kick it.
It's a ball.
With your shoes. And it's a ball. And so, but he was like, you know, there is something about that act of like when you buy the soccer ball and you peel off the layers of packaging and then you take the final layer of plastic off, where it almost lets you, it allows you to believe that you're almost giving birth to this project, right? Like it's never.
Like you taking the sticker off your phone. Kind of.
Yes, like it's like, well, I mean, the sticker off the phone, it does have a lot of that little symbolic, like you're taking the layers out.
You're decanting your new life.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it almost like, I mean, it really is this moment of like the virgin birth of like this thing didn't come from anywhere. It came to you, and you're the one who's doing the final step of putting it into the world. And it is weird because like we live like we're so alienated from like where this stuff comes from, right? We're like fully alienated from like the actual means of production as consumers. Like the stuff is all made.
This is the interpolation. This is the interpolation of the ideology. Is that the woman is like the soccer ball? She is virgin or she is whore.
But this stuff is made, you know, thousands of miles away in China by people that we have no concept of. Like, there was another, I mean, whatever. There was this other story of, do you remember there was like a phone that shipped and someone found pictures of the factory workers taking selfies on their new phone that they got?
Yeah.
And it was a big, to-do. There was a big, it was like an Android phone and people were mad about it. And I was like, it's so weird that that became a story, but it's just what it is it's reminding people that your stuff comes from somewhere. Mm-hmm. And we don't always like to think about that because it's for a lot of reasons, it makes people have feelings. And I think that there's something there about what you're saying about the nature of Dr. Don's work is like, you know, Dr. Don, you're always thinking of where stuff of those. You know, you're not just buying spinach,
but
right?
We also love the theater. Like what happens when you order a glass of water with room service? Well, ordinarily, I try to get a pitcher of water, but what happens when they bring you two glasses of water?
Oh, it's got a little cardboard cover on it.
Yeah.
Keeping the germs out.
Or it's got a cardboard cover or it's got some saran wrap on it, which saran is about wrap, as yep. useful to me as the arrow point on my toilet paper. Like, great. Now three people have touched it.
But I want to say it was maybe a Planet Money episode where they were following the investigators who were tracking the lettuce, was it the romaine lettuce outbreak from last year? And it was from like they found this one field where there was a creek where the horses or the cows were like shitting in the creek. And like, you don't want it's all it's like so weird how much of our world is set up so that when you buy the romaine lettuce, you're not supposed to think about that, right? It's you're buying it in this little Tupperware tin and it's like, oh, it didn't come from anywhere,
right? And it's been triple washed,
right?
Yeah,
anyway, that's my. Those are my musings.
I think that's incredibly interesting. Like, think about, I used to work at McDonald's in the 80s. And, of course, I was, already radicalized. And I'd be like, why can't we recycle some of this stuff? I'm like, you fucking ding-a-ling. What are we going to recycle? Everything here is fucking styrofoam, waxy paper. And it's like, McDonald's will never recycle. And, of course, now McDonald's at least pretends to recycle. But, like, now McDonald's is green, yay. But then you get into like even in the 90s when we were all going like, hey, are there easy ways for us to reduce waste? Like, do I really need my toothpaste to be in a box? Do I really need my deodorant to be in a box? Do I really need my CD to be in a long box? And for each one of those things, the secret reason was, well, it's easier to ship and market. But the stated reason was, no, like this is what people want. People want this long box on their CD. People want, you know what I mean? They would turn into this thing where, like, we're just responding to the markets. And then now, I mean, go and buy deodorant, it's not in a box. You buy toothpaste, it's not usually so much in a box. And I guess they could say, oh, we don't want a Tylenol situation. But I think it's super interesting. I think you are actually onto something in terms of like me, half joking, totally serious. Like, I want to walk into a hotel room and feel like I'm the first person who's ever been in there. I want to be the one that deflowers this room. And like, I know that's impossible because Germans exist. There's no way this room is clean. This has been passed around like a bong in your third year of college, this room. But like, I still like that feeling like, oh, please at least let me have the theater of the plastic on my glass and not seeing butt cheeks imprinted in the bedspread.
Dr. Don, do you ever encounter, so I feel like sometimes you find yourself in this position where people have these little bits of theater, if we put the cardboard over the water, then we can imagine that it's sanitary, right? It invites you to believe things that might not be true. Do people get upset when you are like, I mean, people want to believe in that stuff in a way, right? Do you ever meet that kind of resistance from people of like, they don't want to hear that that stuff isn't as good as they think it is?
Like me right now.
Well, there you go. Yeah. The funniest one that I saw, though, like if you're ever in an airport lounge and there's fruit there, sometimes the fruit will be wrapped up, so the apples will be wrapped up. I went somewhere and they wrapped up the bananas, and I'm like, it has a covering.
Sorry, a
it doesn't need a covering on top of the covering. It's just,
that's
it,
actually to, brilliant. Yeah, that's amazing.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, all right. Let's talk about the butt wiper. Is that the next? So how should I be? So I'm sorry. So I want a straight answer on this. So the problem is, Dr. Don, if I put it in the dishwasher, the interior of this thing, it's got a little screw top on it.
Yeah.
The dishwasher's not going to get in there.
Well, right. And so part of what does the sanitizing on the dishwasher cycle is the temperature of the water, right? And so as long as the heat penetrates, it's okay. But again, I would be very careful about making recommendations for this device without looking to see what the manufacturer says, because you could, in fact, crack it or make it worse by putting it in the dishwasher if it's not designed for that. Mm-hmm. So it really, I mean, I'm not trying to dodge your question, but I would really need to look at what the manufacturer says, what the directions say, look a little bit more about how it's constructed.
Okay. What about this? Mm. I see these ads on Instagram now, and they advertise a little UV light sarcophagus that you can put your phone in. Have you talked about this on the podcast?
We talked about this on Dan's one.
Does it work?
I don't think so.
Leaving aside if your phone gets so dirty that you need it, which it does not.
I mean, this would be fun to do sometime, like swab our phones. I was trying to get funding for a project to go out and swab phones, and actually food companies are interested in, we have all these touch screens. You coming on to me?
I'm sorry. Yeah.
All these touchscreens out there, and in restaurants and stuff, and do people, how dirty do they get?
Look at the airport. At the airport, where it's like, please have this. Newark Airport has an iPad. Oh, I'm sure you've seen this. Newark, which is.
It's horrible, Merlin. It's an abomination.
Empirically, the worst airport in the world. And you go into that giant Uber, food court area, and every single chair, you have to look at an iPad.
I know.
And you're like,
I turn it around.
I know.
So
I put a jacket over
angry.
It.
Yeah, so angry.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, when you're a waiter, you learn lots of stuff about – when I was a waiter, even at the relatively informal cafe where I worked, I learned a lot of stuff about theater that makes everybody happy. And so, the things – if people ever went into the actual fucking kitchen at this privately owned tourist trap cafe, they would be aghast. But, what's the kind of thing they teach you? Well, yes, all of the things we've talked about. This should feel like the freshest, cleanest food on the best plates and blah, 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 blah. But shit, easy stuff. Don't – sounds so obvious, but I've had this happen. Thumb in the water glass. Have you ever had somebody set down a glass of water, grasping the top with their thumb literally in the water?
Well, Merlin,
yeah.
I want to tell you a story about something that happened to me this weekend when I was in Chicago.
Oh, boy.
I was invited to someone's house, and I asked for a glass of wine.
Did I dodge a bullet? I dodged a bullet.
And the host very, very nicely brought out a bottle of wine and three glasses. Do you know how he carried the glasses
Merlin? Hint at this.
No.
Did the bowling ball? Did the bowling ball three finger trick?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh,
he did. He did.
Jesus,
because I am a polite person, I did not mention it. I poured wine into the glass. It's going to have a slightly sterilizing effect.
Just kept pouring it.
And I drank out of that glass and I didn't say anything. And I was not going to bring it up because I had honestly forgotten about it until you brought it up, Merlin. So anyway. We can talk about who that person might have been.
To know.
Oh, my God.
Quinn, this is Max. I need you to think
Do not cut this out, Quinn. Leave it all in, Quinn.
I want you to think very carefully.
I have a PhD in food science, and I'm a food safety microbiologist, Quinn, and you have to leave this in.
Counterpoint. Who signs your checks?
Quinn, you can work for me this week. I will pay your salary.
Quinn, circling back.
Who are you loyal to? Only one of us.
Go to you. Yep. Choose.
Quinn, hand over the gun.
Quinn, who will you kill for?
Come on, Quinn. We can stop and get a pizza. We'll get pepperoni pizza.
Oh,
boy. The future.
We'll get a cold beer. No one's seen no one knows that reference?
No.
Our listeners thought it was funny. tweet at Alex and Merlin if you thought that was funny.
Should we do our challenge?
I want to talk about the toilet thing.
Let's do the
Maybe that's our after show. Is that after show content?
Because mine's out for delivery, boys. Mine is out for delivery.
It's out. You ordered it?
Didn't we all agree we were
so
getting
did
the toilet
I,
You both ordered it? Can you tease... Can you tease what it is, and then we're going to get Dr. Don's take in the after show? What are we talking about?
What if I simply read the description?
Please do.
In a minute, Max is going to tell you how to get access to the Dubai Friday after show, where we'll be discussing Toilet Aid's tools, Toilet Aid's Tools Long Reach Comfort Wipe extends your reach over 15 inches, grips toilet paper or pre-moistened wipes. By Fawner. Fawnware. Fanware? So, Max, if people want to hear me talk about my increasing my reach, where would people find that?
By over 15 inches?
Yeah, I'm known for my reach. Over, yeah.
They can really get in there with 15 inches.
There's a whole lot of different toilet reach tools on the internet. It's quite amazing.
Well, you can hear us talk about our plans for the extendable ass wiper
on the Goodbye Friday after show. Restore the reach increase your nose.
Now, how does this work? Well, you have money, and we want your money because we need to spend it on things like the reach increaser. And for the low, low, low price of $5 a month, you can become a member of the Dubai Friday Patreon at giveusyourfuckingmoney.com. You give us those $5 a month, and you get to hear about the ass wiper, the reach around, the whole kit and caboodle,
all the fixes.
And in the after show, Dr. Don will give us the exclusive answer on how to clean the sinus rinse, the actual answer in the after show.
So true, and, so strong, very special.
And let's see, what else we got? In the if you become, you can also become a member for $10, and we will periodically send you treats and surprises in the mail. And we have a doozy coming up. I'm not supposed to raise expectations, but you're going to want to move up to that $10 level if you want some pretty cool shit in the next month or so.
Pitch over.
Use the offer code Schaffner Group for 20% off on your first order.
Challenge. Oh, boy. Challenge this week was do NFC.
Do an NFC.
Did anybody do an NFC?
Oh, I did.
Oh, yeah.
All right. What NFC? Merlin, can you tell us what NFC or near field communication is?
So mostly in iOS and kind of in other places, it's something called Siri Shortcuts, which is a thing that introduced in, I want to say, iOS 12. That enables you to do some basic bits of programming, do some bits of Siri learning from things that you do. And like all things Siri, it's kind of a lot of different things. But what we're looking at today is doing what are called personal automations that allow you to tap your compliant phone on a near field communication tag or sticker and then have things happen. When I click my phone on this thing, accomplish the following things with Siri Shortcuts. So, you know, some trivial applications of that would be turning lights on and off. There's all different things you can do. And so that was our challenge this week. Did we do an NFC?
Well, here's my question about the NFC stuff.
Do you have an opening statement, Max?
I have an opening statement, which is like, I actually did use this and I found some pretty cool stuff to do with it. But I think you have to have a little bit of other automation in your life happening, like some other smart house kind of type stuff happening in order for the NFC to really be cool. Would you guys stipulate to that?
No.
You would not?
No. Okay. The thing that I'm present, I mean, I have a whole bunch of NFC
maybe
stuff.
Maybe I'm not using my... Dr. Don, do you go in for any of this claptrap?
Well, I was going to ask, because I have a dumb home. It is not smart at all. I have nothing going on, except my phone does know when I arrive at home and when I arrive at the office, right?
How do you... what do you talk to turn the lights on and off?
I'd tell my wife to do it, Max.
I think I'm gonna agree and disagree with everybody, which is that it really is beneficial... it can be most beneficial as a way to leverage other smart home things. But the frustrating part that I will keep to myself because we're running short on time is that, it stops at the water's line for lots of different stuff. So like for me, I went into this looking for things that specifically would make the most sense by tapping NFC as against things where voice really is easier. So if I say, hey, dingus, turn office lights off, that's way easier to me than going out and seeking out something physical. Like, that's crazy. If I can yell it across the room. So I did look for things where specifically there's something that's easier to accomplish physically. But Dr. Don, for example, one of the ones I worked on that kind of works, but is I'm going to keep working on because I need it and want it, is basically like a start podcast workflow where I tap it and it turns on Do Not Disturb till the end of my next event. You know, there's all kinds of things that you can leverage in shortcuts that are not obvious. This is not an intuitive application to use, I feel. But there is some neat stuff that is not just smart home stuff. I mean, all the examples you see are, to me, to my mind, really, like, dumb. I keep seeing this one of somebody putting a sticker on a lampshade. And it's like, really? You're going to tap your lampshade with your phone? Like, that's the easiest way you have to turn that off? That's weird to me. Like, at the point where you're using something physical to do something physical, like, why, you could do it with your voice, but instead you have a meta layer of physicality. That's odd to me. Unless it sets off routines, which currently you would have to do manually in iOS. It exists in Google. It exists in Amazon. But you can't leverage that unless you get into some really crazy Zapier stuff, which I didn't get up to. But there are uses for this, for sure. That don't require you to have Dingeye. Alex, do you have my back on this?
Yes. I mean, I have a couple stickers in my house just so I don't need to shout if Maddie's asleep or something. But typically, I'm yelling at a dingus. Like by my bed in the morning, if I'm going to go into the kitchen or something, I have a morning one and I've a night reading one. So like the morning one turns everything on and does basically the exact same thing as my morning routine, but I don't need to shout. And then I have a nighttime one that turns on like my really like the super red, very light reading lamp that's next to my bed. And then another one to turn it off. So, which is, again, it's like I'm doing two things. I know that a Philips Hue light could probably solve this problem, but I don't like changing the batteries. I don't know. I think a lot of people are going overboard with them, especially
you can find
because
yourself. I mean, if you have this as a project or a challenge on your weekly challenge podcast, you can really go overboard trying to find a use for this. And there are totally applications for this that make tons of sense. It's just that it's not always easier than another way that's actually easier. But I think it does exist. Yeah. Max, what'd you do?
Well, I solved a little inconvenience in my life, which is most days I leave work and I get in my car and I drive, go the like very short drive home, and I'm listening to a podcast in the car, and then I get out of the car and my podcast stops. Then I usually go down to my basement and I like plug into my office and I like plug my computer in and like, you know, get ready to finish up my work for the day. And I have this thing of like I come in and I have to turn all the lights on and my podcast turns off when I get out of the car. So what I did is I put an NFC sticker on the inside of my door where I come in, where I can tap my phone. It turns on all my office lights and it transfers the audio from my podcast onto my Apple TV.
That's my single favorite thing I discovered is audio destination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That feels very futuristic and mind-blowing. It's like genuinely a great use of the NFC thing. It's very magical to me that I can just tap my phone on a sticker and then suddenly it knows to start playing Overcast on my Apple TV so that I can hear it out loud. Very, very futuristic and magical.
Yeah, that's one of mine, yeah.
I ran into some issues with that because I have two HomePods, I think. Like, I can't send it to the right one. And really? I normally want to bring them, but I want to add them both. And it doesn't – I don't know. The HomePod on iOS 13 for me has just kind of been
– Don't feel bad, Alex. There are so many weird limitations and so many weird – bugs to this stuff. It's like it's actually, and I'm trying not to be that guy as much as I usually am, but like there's all kinds of stuff about this that is so janky. It's really jankily implemented.
Now I do the same thing, actually sending it to the Apple TV, and the Apple TV is set to automatically take the HomePod as its audio, since like my TV speakers are shot, and that usually works like 80% of the time.
How do you do that? How do you make that automatic?
I think in settings
Home?
Let me go.
In the Home app?
In the Apple TV app.
Oh, okay, I see.
Like it reads it like it would a soundbar, I think.
Yep. Makes sense.
But yeah, this morning, the other thing is the NFC devices, the various cards and stickers, and I got some keychains today. They're so hit or miss, and it's become very frustrating. Like
Alex, you gave me a bunch of stickers,
yeah,
and I found one that were, I ordered a bunch online actually, mm-hmm. and I found one that I like the best, which is the thickest, biggest sticker.
Mm-hmm.
It's a circle. It's a white circle, and it's a chunky sticker.
That is what I have ordered now. And the new one I've ordered, apparently it works on metal devices. Like, for a while, I had I've got a sticker on my Kindle, and it starts a timer. A little thing pops up for in Timery, what are you doing research for, or what are you reading about, and I select whatever project it is, and it's lovely. And now it has just stopped working. Does it look like this? These are all my boys that I have right now. It's like, it's not,
yeah, it's
not
hard
chunky.
To tell. One of them is I have one that's kind of a chunker.
Yeah, these are little babies. And
Matthew, in one of Matthew Kasten and Lini's posts, he has his mm-hmm. suggested devices for you. That's how I found the keychains that I just sent you a photo, the bag of keychains, and how I found the bag or the packet of a bunch of like hotel room kind of cards.
Yeah, those have been the most successful for me.
Yeah, that's been the least of my problems with all of this stuff, actually. But
really?
Oh, far and away. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, okay, so like here's a beef, like a ton of what I want to do. Okay, so tell me if I'm insane. I've gone into Overcast, and Marco has very thoughtfully put in a whole area where you can customize. He shows you the dictionary, basically, of like everything you can do out of the box with Overcast. And it's so handy. You go in, you click on a thing. So you say like, okay, to play Overcast, I will say the following thing, and then we'll play Overcast. If I want to play my bim bam list, I say that. If I want to set a timer that turns this off at the end of this podcast episode, I say this. And then I hop over to Shortcuts. I'm not blaming Marco for this. I hop over to Shortcuts, and I've got two available things at all, period, full stop, in Overcast, right? So I've got like, I forget what they are. I could look at them. But like, here's what's weird is in the past, somehow in the beta, in the days before they took out the automation stuff, I did create a play my bim bam list. So I made that somehow one time. But what I'm saying is the full dictionary of everything that's available is not all in there. Have you run into this where you're like, I know I can do this. I go through the search. I go through the app specific area. Have you run into this where there's just stuff that's just not in there?
Mm-hmm. I was talking to Matthew about this, and apparently you have to have already run it. Like, we were troubleshooting something we were trying to do for Max, and it's
run it
like,
as
oh,
a vanilla shortcut outside of the Shortcuts app.
Right. And it's like, well, if you've never done the action itself before, or if you haven't done it enough, like, the machine learning won't be like, you want to use this as a shortcut, which I don't get.
I get that for not being in recommendations. I don't get that for not being in the app listing. Yeah.
In search. Yeah. It's super weird. I guess I haven't. Well, actually, that was the thing. I thought it was Timery was just broken on the beta, which is a wonderful app if you do time tracking. People should check it out. Because I'm like, stuff isn't showing up. I guess I just haven't been using the timer, like the timers enough. I thought the app was broken, but no, I just hadn't been using those specific timers enough, so they wouldn't show up as suggested. They didn't show up in search. It was very, very weird.
Let me ask you guys this. Like, let's say someone's listening to this and they're like, I'm going to go on Amazon. First of all, we haven't stated this, but the NFC stickers are very cheap.
Yes.
They're like 25 cents a sticker, or maybe less. I don't know. They're very cheap. So you can get a little package of them on Amazon and fuck around with them. Alex and I also were coming up with some ideas for magic tricks. We were putting stickers on cards and in the card box and stuff, and that was kind of some fun experimentation. But what should people do? Like, what do you think is like an easy, like a quick win, or like people are thinking of, they're hearing this and like, what can I do? Like, for me, it was like a quick win was like, I could, like what Alex said, I can like, maybe it's late at night and Veronica's asleep, I could just touch my phone somewhere and have the lights turn off. That's mm-hmm. kind of cool.
Yeah.
You should have just gotten a text from me. I had turned it off. There you go.
I mean, that's okay. Here's one general pattern. If you're interested in playing with these, I think there's one no-brainer idea, which is to get a few of these. Like Max said, they're not very costly. What I would suggest is, you know me and my philosophical approach to these things, start with a thing that you want to accomplish. Unless you're going into this purely as an experiment, here's what I would not do. I would not have this be the first time you spend a ton of time with shortcuts, or you're going to lose your goddamn mind.
Yes,
So use someone else's shortcut that's already made. And then when you go, so basically you add somebody else's shortcut, which is like what I did. All of mine are inspired by or directly lifted from other people. And then one of the automation things you can do is say, when I tap my phone on this NFC thing, run this shortcut. So it can just be in your regular shortcut list. And then you're just using it as an automation, which is slightly different from a regular shortcut. But so like, you know, okay, like one that I got last night because I was really panicking to find more good ones. I found so few good ones. One of them that's kind of neat, but also reveals a lot of the limitations. I made one. So I sent you guys my my usual literally everyday Amazon routine, which is called Morning Lights. And I wanted something kind of like that. And I haven't totally tricked this out, but so first of all, I just want to say the Amazon products routines are very good. They're real good. And if you do voice stuff, you're plenty good with that. Here's one that's kind of interesting. That sucks. Okay. It's called Morning Audio and I'll send it to you. It's somebody else's thing. So I say, first of all, set playback destination to my HomePod. Set as current date, format the date as this. If the format date is Wednesday, if it's Wednesday, play Office Ladies, the Office Recap podcast. And if it's not, play KALW. Stream that to my HomePod because they don't have if-thens. They have repeats, but they don't have if-thens. Mm-hmm. So you get basically one shot at logic, I think. But that's kind of cool. That's the kind of thing. You tap that and do it. But also, you know, again, you sort of see the limitations. My only advice is if you're interested in this, yes, buy these cheapy things and then go find other people's shortcuts and use those. Does that make sense, Alex?
Yeah, I feel like people get really intimidated by shortcuts, which, especially now that it's shortcuts and at workflow, there's some really weird UI stuff that even I'm sometimes like, wait, I need to go back and then go back. What? What is going on? Mm-hmm. But there's amazing, like, Matthew Casanelli stuff, Sharecuts, of course, Mac Stories has a million things. You can just take people's shortcuts and add them. Like, you could never build a shortcut and still get a ton of use out of this stuff, especially like, you know, even like the location based stuff. I use it all the time. Like
that's
when I'm coming
the
to
most
work.
Powerful stuff in here is in the section called the tab called automation, like of which NFC is only one thing. But like, I feel like if there's, I mean, like setting aside the actual challenge this week, go look at the stuff under automation because the triggers are wild. There's such good stuff. So you can create a personal automation. So you can create a personal automation for yourself or one that's shared throughout your household, like on your HomePod. But you can trigger stuff based on stuff like time of day, when an alarm happens, when I arrive or leave somewhere, when I join this Wi-Fi network, do the following things. Are you ready for this? When I open a given app, do this thing. Like all that stuff is really good no-brainer stuff. So NFC is to me not even anywhere near the most useful part of this. But when I do not disturb, do the following things as well. I think that's really, really handy.
I love it so much. And as Max just saw, I have three cards, one of which doesn't work when I put it in my wallet, which is obnoxious. I've got Max, I'm at, like, he'll be like, are you in the office? And I say, I'm at my, one says I'm at the desk, one says I'm in the studio, and one says I'm on my way, wherever that is going. But it doesn't work even through the thinnest bit of fabric, and it just drives me crazy. Like, I get not going through the leather for some reason, but, like, why is it not working through, I don't know. I should have tried this before. Oh, wait, maybe I just turned, nope, it's fine. All right. I guess that's the other thing too, is I don't understand NFC technology enough to figure out what the physical limitations are. Like we have little key fobs to get into our office and I put an NFC sticker on it and I have fully broken it. Well, and I don't know.
We can't, can we make other NFC things get us into the office, or only the ones that they provided?
I am working on it. I'm told only the ones that they have provided,
that
but I think it
sounds
was
ridiculous.
Exactly. So I'm gonna, yeah, we're gonna like push them on that because apparently it's proprietary NFC or something. It's very strange.
I think you're running into something I run into with my Muni card for going on public transit, which is, I imagine you guys have something similar, which is you buy a card like this NFC card and you put cash on it or a pass on it. Now, I see a lot of the people who like will wear that like around their neck and they'll scan it. I do see people who keep it in their wallet. I have to take mine out of my wallet. Why? Because I have one for me and one for my kid in there. So I think you might be running into something similar where it doesn't know which one wins.
Oh, fuck. Does the Apple card have any? Oh, shit. Oh, that's a really
well.
Good
that's
point.
The other thing is debit cards. Debit cards can be if you have touchless capability, like on a PayPal debit card, that can be an NFC tag too.
That doesn't, but I think the Apple Pay.
This has gone off the rails.
Oh, it's a good.
We've lost all our listeners.
No, it's interesting.
My favorite actually. My favorite actually useful one that I actually use is the very first one I did, which is I chose orange because of overcast, and I basically keep it next to my standing desk at home, and when I tap it, all it does is send the current audio to the HomePod. Dumbest, easiest thing in the world. I could just as easily do it by clicking on the little, you know, blue icon. But I like it, and it's easy. But I don't know. I haven't found that many uses for this that are actually that
useful. What if you put one on your butt reacher and it starts playing like Spanish Flea?
No,
extending the reach around, 15-inch reach around grip. You can install a moistened wipe.
No.